family. Am I on? Oh, there we go. John, Paul, George, and Ringo. For many of you, I do not need to include the last names of these four gentlemen who comprise what many regard to be the most influential band of all time, the Beatles. The Beatles formed in Liverpool 60 years ago and instantly became an integral part of 60s music and pop culture. The British invasion swept the United States in 1964. The Beatles were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1988 as a band, while all four members have been inducted individually between 1994 and 2015. The Beatles have 7 Grammys, an Academy Award, and are the best-selling music act of all time. While listening to the radio recently, their hit song, Hey Jude, came on. And while there is no relation to the book that we have been studying recently, the opening line of this song struck me, especially as I prepared for this specific sermon. Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. If you have your Bibles with me, please turn to Jude verses 17 through 19. I'm going to do a small recap of what we've been studying recently. At the beginning of our study of this book, we saw that those who are called in Christ Jesus are beloved and kept for salvation. We saw the importance of having mercy, peace, and love given to us, and how there is a real present threat of false teachers persisting from the time of Jude to today. Our brother Sam reminded us of our responsibility to contend for the faith, and while contending for the faith seems like a daunting task, he also reminded us of the reassurance that our faith has been delivered once and for all. He then also showed us 4 characteristics of false teachers that we must contend against. Josh then showed us from the text 3 examples of God's judgment against disobedience, urging us to stay steadfast in the faith. Jake then presented to us 3 examples of false teaching that had already occurred within the church. Last week, Sam once again taught us how to identify these false teachers that Jude is warning us against and gave us 6 characteristics these people have, and then reminded us of 3 characteristics that the judgment of the Lord has for these people, as well as for anyone who has not placed their faith in Christ. These last 16 verses have been very heavy and condemning, and some of you may have even been asking yourself over the last couple weeks, how can I apply the book of Jude to my own life? Well, it's not enough for us to be able to identify as false teachers, but we also must know how to avoid them. One scholar describes the book of Jude like this: Jude is known for his denunciation of false teachers. Because of this, many immediately think of this letter as bearing an essentially negative message, one not very applicable to any Christian who is not engaging in false teachings themselves. The book of Jude is much more than that, though, and I hope this morning, as we look at verses 17 through 19, I can help you understand the importance of remembering what God has told us in his word so that we are not vulnerable to the attacks of our enemy. Today, I want to take a sad song and make it better. So if you will, join me in prayer. Father God, Lord, this morning I want to thank you for the opportunity that my brothers and I have had to fill the pulpit. Lord, I thank you for being with Hobson and his family as they went on this trip, on this journey that we have been on for 4 years with them to bring Zeke home. And Lord, I'm grateful that throughout the time that you made it a quick trip for them and the family is back now as we wrap up this series. Lord, I thank you for the diligence we've had to study your word and to listen to your spirit and to bring your word to your congregation. And Lord, I pray this morning that as heavy as and condemning these last few messages have been, Lord, that the truth was taught to your church, as heavy and condemning as it was, we've been faithful to your word and your spirit. And Lord, I pray that this morning you use me, that I rely on you and your spirit to bring truth, Lord, that our hearts and minds are open to the truth, Lord, and that we can apply the truths of your word to our walk, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you once again. I pray that in this time that you speak loudly through me, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, and just, Lord, I pray that you continue to use your this series for your glory. And above all, I ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen. Jude's letter served two purposes. As we saw back in verse 3, Jude had been highlighting the danger of apostates within the local body of God's church. For those of you that do not know that particular term, apostates, they are people who are willfully and deliberately defect. They are people who willfully and deliberately deflect from the faith. They purposely oppose the central teachings of the Christian faith, while at the same time they plant seeds of doubt, division, and dissension among believers. You can see that in false teachers of Jude's day, as well as the false teachers that you can see in our world today. Jude wanted to expose the false teachers who had infiltrated the Christian community of his day, but he also wanted to encourage the Christian community and how they can stand firm and fight for the truth. If you have your Bibles, read along with me as I look at verses 17 and 19. As Miss Debbie read this morning, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit." Jude had just given his readers examples of false teachers as a warning, and suddenly he switches from warning his readers, as well as us today, to giving us commands that they should be following. The first command we see is found in verse 17. We must remember the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to take a look at this command and look at the three verses and answer three questions regarding this command, three things that we must remember. So the first question is, who should remember? As Jude begins to bring his letter to a close, there's a sudden change. In verse 17, Jude uses the conjunction but. He's shifting the focus from the rebuking of the apostates to a loving call of God's beloved. Jude is speaking to those who have been called by God, are loved by him, and are being kept for Christ. If you remember from the first sermon of this series, God loves all people. But for those of us here today who are in Christ, for those of you that are hearing this message who consider yourselves Christians, God loves us all as his children, which is a different kind of love. Being loved by God the Father means that there is nothing we can do that will make him love us more, and there is nothing that we can do that will make him love us less. This is a perfect love, and it is a permanent love. We welcome the wrath of God upon ourselves due to our sinful nature, but it is through the death of Christ on the cross that we have been redeemed, and God now loves us with the same love that he had for his son Jesus. Jude is using this term in verse 17 not as a reminder of the love that God has for us, but also possibly for his own personal concern for the audience he was writing to. Hampton Roads is considered the East Coast epicenter of military activity, and we host five facilities for five branches of the major armed forces. In the same way that our military services fight to protect our freedom, we must serve in the body of Christ to protect sound doctrine. If enemies infiltrate our ranks with destructive doctrines or attack the faith of our weaker brothers and sisters with lies, those who are stronger in the faith must be ready to fight for our beliefs. We do not fight with physical weapons, though, but with spiritual weapons of knowledge, wisdom, faith, hope, and love. So who should remember? Christians, brothers and sisters, the church. Now that we know who should be remembering, let's answer what it is we're supposed to remember. If we were to take a look back at verse 3, Jude had originally planned on writing his letter addressing the salvation that we all share. That changed, though. Jude, led by the Holy Spirit, writes in verse 4, he was led to write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. Jude is reminding his audience, as well as us, that false teaching has been there from the very beginning and continues to be promoted among the faithful. Jude is telling us and his audience that they should remember the prediction of the apostles, but what does that exactly mean? We must not forget that all scripture has been inspired by God. The apostles were not only selected by God, but given authority by him to write scripture. And that is where we get the canon of the New Testament. But it's much more than that. God not only selected the people who would be inspired to write scripture, the words themselves have all been inspired by God. And that is why it is so crucial for us to remember what it says in God's word. The idea of false teaching didn't surprise Jude's audience. Jude is actually reminding us that their intrusion was predicted, and it most definitely should not surprise us today. So what exactly were the apostolic predictions that God is calling us to remember? Well, first off, he's calling us to remember the teachings of Jesus himself. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 7. Starting at verse 15, I'm going to read through 20. This is from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and within that Sermon on the Mount, he addresses false prophets. Starting in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn brushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." This is very reminiscent of what Jude has already previously described in his letter. False teachers being able to be recognized by the fruit they bear and then the judgment that awaits them. Also, Jesus himself was the first to predict apostasy, and that can be found in Matthew 24, verse 24. "For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." So Jesus Christ himself predicted apostasy. So we should not be surprised when false teaching is in our churches. But it's not just the teachings of Jesus that we should remember, but it is the apostles as well. And there's plenty of verses I could highlight this morning, but I'm just going to look at a few about apostates and false teaching. So teachings of the apostles for us to remember. The first one I want to point out is actually right there in verse 18 of Jude. It's very similar to a warning from Peter of apostate teachers who not only will deny Christ and his second coming, but will be very evangelistic in teaching their false doctrine. This is important to note because, as I stated, the canon of Scripture as we know it had not been established yet when Jude was writing his letter. But Jude seems to be making a direct reference to something that Peter himself wrote. This was done because all Scripture is inspired by God. God is using Peter's letter to help establish the truth about apostates and the damage they want to do to the church. In Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30, Paul's recorded while speaking to the Ephesian elders, "After my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Paul had a recording of false teaching, a warning about false teachers. And if we were to take a look at a letter Paul wrote to Timothy, we see that this came to pass. Men who arose from within the church there in Ephesus, which is where Timothy was serving, and who were trying to destroy the church for the benefit of their own. So not only were warnings told, we actually see it in the letters of the New Testament later on that those warnings came to pass. So once again, we should not be surprised when we see false teaching happening in churches today. Psalms 119:11 states, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." It is crucial for those of us in the Christian faith to know what it is that God's word states. Not only is it useful in our daily battle against our sins, but it is a tool that he has provided us in our fight for our beliefs and for our faith. Be reminded, our faith is fully credited to the gracious acts of a merciful God. Martin Luther once stated that faith is the foundation on which one should build, but to build up means to increase from day to day in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. Remembering the words of God is just as important for us today than it is for when Jude wrote his epistle. One of the best things to help with remembering the words of God is scripture memorization. And if you struggle with scripture memorization like I do, I've got some helpful tools that might help you that have helped me over the years. The first one that I find helpful is writing down scripture repeatedly. I used to have a designated notebook that I would just write scripture in. But something I started doing this year is I have a 2021 yearly planner, but I don't use the day-to-day planner. I just use like the calendar grid and things like that. So I have a small group of accountability, and we chose 7 verses together. 6 of them are the same exact verses, and the 7th one is one that is applicable to us specifically. My small group of accountability is my wife and then Jonah. So my verse is designated for husbands, Elizabeth is designated for a wife, and then Jonah's verse is as a child. But we all do this, and we keep each other accountable. So each day gets a verse. So on Sundays, I write one verse, Monday, another verse throughout the week. But the course of this is I will write the verse 52 times by the end of the year. And we keep each other accountable with it. I have this little bookmark I keep in my planner. I'll be honest, I'm not memorizing as well as I should be, but it is there. I can write a lot better than I did at the beginning of the year. So I'm hoping by the end of the year I won't need this little cheat sheet. And if writing stuff out isn't your thing, maybe you're more comfortable with typing or an app, I have something for you as well. There's an app called Bible Memory. I've used it in the past, and I've found it to be very beneficial. So what it is you choose the verse you're wanting to memorize, and it will upload it into a little grid, and then you start looking at it, and you just have to type the first letter of the word out. But as you begin to get better at it and you progress, it starts removing key words. So you do have to memorize the verse, because it does track you and gives you a percentage of how well you're doing. And by the end of it, all the words will be blank, but it will let you know how many blanks there are. Throughout it, you're memorizing the verse. That app is called Bible Memory. I believe it's actually attached to the Bible app through, that's something I can recommend as well that has helped me. And then lastly, just the accountability of other people. I highly encourage you to find someone to join you as you memorize scripture. Maybe you'll do the same verses like me and my small group are, but find someone to help check in with you on a weekly basis to ask how you're doing with scripture memorization. So we know who's to remember and what it is we're called to remember. So the final question I want to answer this morning is, why do we remember? The command of remembering is much different for Jude's original audience than it is for us today. The apostolic warnings Jude is telling them to remember were more than likely told to them orally, a common element of early church preaching, as well as letters that were being passed around within the churches from the apostles. For the early church, remembering the warning of the apostles was done by memory. For us today, we have the luxury of having direct access to God's collected word. We all have Bibles, bounded Bibles, personal Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, you have a myriad of devices that you can access your Bible on. For Jude's original audience, though having read the written collected text was just a dream, let alone the access we would have to God's word 2,000 years later. Many of them themselves probably couldn't even read, so memory was important to them. The Bible as we know it hadn't even been fully constructed yet. Word of mouth regarding the events of Christ's life and the letter to the churches is how they received what we now consider the canon of Scripture. So why was Jude's command so important? He wrote that we must remember, using the imperative to highlight that this was of urgency. It's also a reminder that the opponents of their church and the apostates of the gospel had been predicted by the apostles. If we were to take a look back at verse 4, we see that the arrival and judgment of these people were prescripted. Seeing that the Old Testament prophesied false teachers, Jude is now saying that the apostles themselves also anticipated their coming. But let's take a look at verse 19. These people create divisions and are worldly, not having the Spirit. So these people are the people that Sam talked about last week. We saw the characteristics of false teachers. They're wanting to create division and are not worldly, not having the Spirit. The word that Jude uses here, which is translated more than likely in your text as worldly, is the Greek word psychikos, and it means worldly-minded, not governed by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, verse 9, it tells us that anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So these false teachers and their doctrine are meant to be divisive in nature within the local church, something that not only Jude experienced in his day, but we continue to see today. And just to let you know, false teachers will continue to pose a constant threat to our faith until Christ returns. In Paul's letter to Titus, he addresses the concept of divisiveness. Chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul writes to Titus, as a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, having nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is condemned. This is the biblical model of church discipline that we see in the Gospel of Matthew, and it just shows the seriousness of the divisiveness within the church body. As I said earlier, we must fight for our beliefs with the spiritual weapons God has equipped us with. Not physical weapons, but weapons of knowledge, wisdom, faith, hope, and love. We don't know when a spiritual attack may come, but I can promise you that they will come. Maybe you'll be online in the comment section of social media, or maybe it will be when a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door. For Elizabeth and myself, the attack came in a very unexpected place, walking around the Yorktown Walmart during the holiday season. A few years ago, Elizabeth and I were doing our Christmas shopping one evening when two young men approached us. One introduced himself and the other just stood a few feet back observing. I was wearing one of our PBC t-shirts, and he asked us if that was where he went to church. So I said yes, and I actually explained to him that I was on staff there as well, which intrigued him. So he wanted to know not only what Elizabeth and I believed ourselves, but wanted to know what the church taught. And so I began giving a basic overview, and then I also began, which led me to begin a gospel message. When I got to the part of my gospel message where God, our creator, and I referenced him a father, he stopped me and asked me if I'd ever heard of God, the mother. Yeah. I told him no, and I explained that that wasn't a biblical principle. So he then began to explain what their church beliefs were, how God is father and mother, and how spiritual life is unattainable without a heavenly mother. He was carrying a Bible, so I asked him to show me in Scripture where this truth was from, and he didn't want to. He replied to me that he couldn't show us because God had not opened up our third eye to this truth. So our minds would not be able to interpret the Scripture like he could. I didn't have a Bible myself on me. I mean, I was walking around Walmart. Not that you don't carry Bibles with you in Walmart, but I pulled out my phone because, like many of us, I have a Bible app. I asked him for the verse again because I wanted to look it up myself, and he said he wouldn't give it to me because I would not be able to interpret it as he did. Well, I continued on in my gospel presentation explaining that we believe that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and helps us interpret Scripture, which is all God breathed, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. He suddenly cuts me off and said something along the lines of, well, it seems like we don't believe in the same God then. Which, yeah, you're right. God the Mother doesn't exist. I tried to finish my gospel presentation, but I could tell he was not interested in listening to me anymore. And he was rather disengaged suddenly. I asked him if he'd like to continue this discussion, possibly another time, as I wanted to discuss the Bible further with him. But he declined, saying that we just didn't have the same beliefs. I asked if we could pray together before parting, but they weren't interested in that either, and they walked away. Once we got to our car, Elizabeth and I prayed about the situation, and I thanked God for giving me the spiritual weapons that I needed at that time. Were we as prepared for such an attack as we should have been? Honestly, I don't believe so. But God provided in the moment, and I'm thankful for that. One thing that we did do was when we got home, we looked up this church online. And just to let you know, this is a local church in Newport News. And we have informed ourselves about the beliefs from their own website. So if we ever did run into these men again or someone else from this church, we would be better prepared to battle. And honestly, a few days later at a Christmas party, I don't remember if it was staff Christmas party, deacon Christmas party, probably combined to be honest. I happened to mention this situation to Hobson, and one of the deacons overheard me and came over and told us that someone else from PBC had a very similar situation happen a few days prior at the same location. I tell you this as a reminder to help apply what I've already mentioned to our daily walk. Remember what the Scriptures say. Memorize Scripture. Be prepared for battle, because when a spiritual attack comes, we should be prepared. The readers of Jude should not have been surprised by the intrusion of false teachers. The apostles foresaw what would happen and warned the early church that it would happen. Due to the apostles foreseeing the arrival of false teachers, the faith of the church should be strengthened, since it just confirms the truth of the faith that for once all was given for them. No false teaching, no threat from the outside can be considered a genuine threat to the truth of faith, since it has all been foreseen as well as predicted. The apostles foretold that opponents would come, and come they did. And we see that evident by the words and works of them that is given to us through the apostles. But let me be clear, these people were not part of the people of God. The church should recognize them. We should reject their teaching, and we need to reach out to those who may be wavering under the influence. So I said at the beginning, my point this morning was to take a sad song and make it better. Everything up to this point has been heavy and condemning, and what I want to do is, by looking at this first command, I wanted to help us understand the importance of remembering what God has told us in his word so that we are not vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. Remembering God's word is just the first step to help us avoid false teachers and their teaching. I pray that you join us next week as we look at the other two commands that Jude gives us. But this week, as Hobson said this morning, it's the Holy Week. Let's look at the scriptures. Let's be reminded of what was done on the cross. And let's prepare ourselves for battle, because the apostles warned us. They warned the early church. And as we've seen over the past few weeks, there's false teachers, not within PBC, but within the church. So let's recognize these people. Let's reject their teaching. And we probably all know someone who has been being influenced by them. So let's reach out to them. Let's pray with them and for them, and not reject them because they are believing these teachings, but let's help them to realize the truth of what God's word says, to get them involved in a church that does not have false teaching and can help them understand what the truths of the Bible are. Pray with me. Father God, we are so thankful for your love. We are thankful for your grace and your mercy. Lord, as sinners, we don't deserve it, but Lord, I'm thankful that your son lived a perfect life, a holy life, Lord, and that you love us enough that you gave your son on behalf of us. Lord, I pray that there's anyone here this morning that does not know Christ as their Savior. They find someone and talk to them this morning about, how do I become a Christian? What is it that Christ did for me? And if there is someone who is involved or is being influenced by false teaching and has heard this message and needs to be praying about it and wants to confess it, Lord, may they come to someone and do that, an elder or someone that they know will help them in the battle. Lord, they are not alone. And Lord, I pray that the truth of your word penetrates the false teaching that they have been enraptured by. Lord, I pray, I thank you for the truth of your word, and I thank you that you want us to remember what is done. Lord, I thank you for the warnings of the apostles. I thank you for the warnings from Christ himself, Lord. And I pray that you help us to be better prepared for battle as we venture out into the world. And Lord, I pray and ask all these things in your son's name. Amen.
I invite you to stand.